Chapter 5. Second violation of the scriptures. By the rule which these reformers bring forward to distinguish the sacred books from the others, and of some smaller parts they cut off from them according to Thy's rule. The crafty merchant keeps out the worst articles of his stock to offer first to buyers, to try if he can get rid of them and sell them to some simpleton. The reasons which these reformers have advanced in the preceding chapter are but tricks, as we have seen, which are used only as it were for amusement, to try whether some simple and weak brain will be content with them. And, in reality, when one comes to the grapple, they confess that not the authority of the Church, nor of Saint Jerome, nor of the gloss, nor of the Hebrew, is cause sufficient to receive or reject any scripture. The following is their protestation of faith presented to the King of France by the French pretended reformers, after having placed on the list, in the third article, the books they are willing to receive. They write thus in the fourth article: "We know these books to be canonical and a most safe rule of our faith, not so much by the common accord and consent of the Church, as by the testimony and interior persuasion of the Holy Spirit, which gives us to discern them from the other ecclesiastical books." Quitting then the field of the reasons proceeding, and making for cover, they throw themselves into the interior, secret, and invisible persuasion which they consider to be produced in them by the Holy Spirit. Now in truth it is judicious in them not to choose to rely in this point on the common accord and consent of the Church, for this common accord has placed on the canon Ecclesiasticus and the Maccabees, as much as and as early as the Apocalypse, and yet they choose to receive this and to reject those. Judith, made authoritative by the grand and irreproachable Council of Nice, is blotted out by these reformers. They have reason then to confess that in the reception of canonical books, they do not accept the accord and consent of the Church, which was never greater or more solemn than in that first council. But, for God's saint's sake, notice the trick. "We know," say they, "these books to be canonical, not so much by the common consent and accord of the Church to hear them speak." Would you not say that at least to some extent they let themselves be guided by the Church? Their speech is not sincere. It seems as if they did not altogether refuse credit to the common accord of Christians, but only did not receive it as on the same level with their interior persuasion. In all reality, however, they hold it in no account at all. They are thus cautious in their language in order not to appear altogether arrogant and unreasonable. For, I ask you, if they deferred as little as you please to ecclesiastical authority, why would they receive the Apocalypse rather than Judith or the Maccabees? Saint Augustine and Saint Jerome are faithful witnesses to us that these have been unanimously received by the whole Catholic Church, and the councils of Carthage, Intrullo, Florence, assure us thereof. Why then do they say that they do receive these sacred books not so much by the common accord of the Church or by interior persuasion, since the common accord of the Church has neither value nor place in the matter? It is their custom when they would bring forward some strange opinion not to speak clearly and frankly, in order to give the reader a better impression. And now let us look at the rule they have for distinguishing the canonical books from the other ecclesiastical ones. The testimony, they say, and interior persuasion of the Holy Spirit. Good heavens! What obscurity, what dense fog, what shades of night! Are we not now fully enlightened in so important and grave a difference? The question is how one can tell these canonical books. We wish to have some rule to distinguish them, and they offer us something that passes in the interior of the soul, which no one sees, nobody knows save the soul itself and its creator. One, show me clearly that when you tell me that such and such an inspiration exists, in your conscience you are not telling a lie. You say that you feel this persuasion within you, but why am I bound to believe you? Is your word so powerful that I am forced under its authority to believe that you think and feel what you say? I am willing to hold you as good people enough, but when there is question of the foundations of my faith, as of receiving or rejecting the ecclesiastical scriptures, I find neither your ideas nor your words steady enough to serve me as a base. 2. Show me clearly that these inspirations and persuasions that you pretend to have are of the Holy Spirit. Who knows not that the spirit of darkness very often appears in clothing of light? 3. Does this spirit grant his persuasions indifferently to everyone, or only to some particular persons? If to everyone, how does it happen that so many millions of Catholics have never perceived them, nor so many women, working people, and others among yourselves? If it is to some in particular, show them me, I beg, you, and why to these rather than to others? What mark will you give me to know them and to pick them out from the crowd of the rest of men? Must I believe in the first who shall say, here you are? This would be to put ourselves too much at a venture and at the mercy of deceivers. Show me then some infallible rule to recognize these inspired ones, these persuaded ones, or else permit me to credit none of them. For, but, in conscience, do you think that the anterior persuasion is a sufficient means to distinguish the Holy Scriptures, and put the nations out of doubt? How comes it then that Luther throws off the Epistle of Saint James, which Calvin receives? Try to harmonize, I pray you, this spirit and his persuasions. Who persuades the one to reject what he persuades the other to receive? You will say, perhaps, that Luther is mistaken. He will say as much of you. Which is to be believed? Luther ridicules Ecclesiastes. He considers Job a fable. Will you oppose him your persuasion? He will oppose you his. So this spirit, divided against himself, will leave you no other conclusion except to grow thoroughly obstinate, each in his own opinion. 5. Then what reason is there that the Holy Spirit should give inspirations as to what everyone must believe to nobody's? To Luther, to Calvin, they having abandoned without any such inspiration the councils and the entire church. We do not deny, to speak clearly, but that the knowledge of the true sacred books is a gift of the Holy Spirit, but we say that the Holy Spirit gives it to private individuals through the medium of the church. Indeed, if God had 1,000 times revealed a thing to a private person, we should not be obliged to believe it unless he stamped it so clearly that we could no longer call its validity in question. But we see nothing of this among your reformers. In a word, it is to the church general that the Holy Spirit immediately addresses his inspirations and persuasions. Then, by the preaching of the church, he communicates them to private persons. It is the spouse in whom the milk is produced, then the children suck it from her breasts. But you would have it, on the contrary, that God inspires private persons, and by these means the church, that the children receive the milk and the mother is nourished at their breasts. An absurdity. Now, if the scripture is not violated and its majesty offended by the setting up of these interior and private inspirations, it never was nor will be violated. For by this means the door is open to everyone to receive or reject of the scriptures what shall seem good to him. Why shall one allow Calvin to cut off wisdom or the Maccabees, and not Luther to remove the Epistle of Saint James or the Apocalypse, or Castalio the Canticle of Canticles, or the Anabaptists the Gospel of Saint Mark, or another person Genesis and Exodus? If all protest that they have interior revelation, why shall we believe one rather than another? So that this rule, supposed to be sacred on account of the Holy Spirit, will be violated by the audacity of every deceiver. Recognize, I pray you, the stratagem. They have taken away all authority from tradition, the church, the councils. What more remains? The scripture. The enemy is crafty. If he would take all away at one stroke, he would cause alarm. He starts a certain and infallible method of getting rid of it bit by bit, and very gradually, that is, this idea of anterior inspiration, by which everybody can receive or reject what seems good to him. And in fact, consider a little how the process works itself out. Calvin removes and erases from the canon Baruch, Tobias, Judith, Wisdom, Ecclesiasticus, Maccabees. Luther takes away the Epistle of Saint James, of Saint Jude, the second of Saint Peter, the second and third of Saint John, the Epistle to the Hebrews. He ridicules Ecclesiastes, and holds Job a fable. In Daniel, Calvin has erased the Canticle of the Three Children, the history of Susanna and that of the Dragon of Bel, also a great part of Esther. In Exodus, at Geneva and elsewhere among these reformers, they have cut out the 22nd verse of the second chapter, which is of such weight that neither the 70 nor the other translators would ever have written it if it had not been in the original. Bizza casts a doubt over the history of the adulteress in the Gospel of Saint John. Saint Augustine warns us that already the enemies of Christianity had erased it from their books, but not from all, as Saint Jerome says. In the mysterious words of the Eucharist, do they not try to overthrow the authority of those words, which shall be shed for you? Because the Greek text see footnote clearly shows that what was in the chalice was not wine, but the blood of our Savior. As if one were to say in French, ceci est la coupe du nouveau testament en mon sang, le culcere respandi pauvres. For in this way of speaking, that which is in the cup must be the true blood, not the wine, since the wine has not been shed for us but the blood, and the cup cannot be poured out except by reason of what it contains. What is the knife with which one has made so many amputations? This tenet of private inspiration. What is it that makes you reformers so bold to cut away one this piece, another that, and the other something else? The pretext of these interior persuasions of the spirit, which makes them supreme each in his own idea, in judging as to the validity or invalidity of the scriptures. On the contrary, gentlemen, Saint Augustine protests, for my part, I would not believe the gospel unless the authority of the Catholic Church moved me thereto. Cantor Ep. Fund. 5. And elsewhere, we receive the New and the Old Testament in that number of books which the authority of the Catholic Church determines. Sermo de tempcxi, the Holy Spirit can give his inspirations as he likes, but as to the establishment of the public and general belief of the faithful, he only directs us to the Church. It is hers to propose which are the true scriptures and which are not. Note 2. In the dative, agreeing with Amati, but 2. In the nominative, agreeing with Poterian. The sound represents this in French by the change of gender. It is not clearly expressed in the Latin, and our English translation would seem to favor the wrong meaning. Shall be poured out is more correct, but still ambiguous. Tr. Chapter 6. Answer to an objection. But here is the difficulty. If these books were not from the beginning of undoubted authority in the Church, who can give them this authority? In truth, the Church cannot give truth or certitude to the Scripture, or make a book canonical if it were not so, but the Church can make a book known as canonical, and make us certain of its certitude, and is fully able to declare that a book is canonical which is not held as such by everyone, and thus to give it credit in Christendom, not changing the substance of the book which of itself was canonical, but changing the persuasion of Christians, making it quite assured where previously it had not been so. But how can the Church herself define that a book is canonical? For she is no longer guided by new revelations but by the old apostolic ones, of which she has infallibility of interpretation. And if the ancients have not had the revelation of the authority of a book, how then can she know it? She considers the testimony of antiquity, the conformity which this book has with the others which are received, and the general relish which the Christian people find in it. For as we can know what is a proper and wholesome food for animals when we see them fond of it and feed on it with advantage, so, when the Church sees that the Christian people heartily relishes a book as canonical and gains good from it, she may know that it is a fit and wholesome meat for Christian souls. And as when we would know whether one wine is of the same vintage as another, we compare them, observing whether the color, the smell and the taste are alike in the two, so when the Church has properly decided that a book has a taste, color and smell and holiness of style, doctrine and mysteries like to the other canonical books, and besides has the testimony of many good and irreproachable witnesses of antiquity, she can declare the book to be true brother of the other canonical ones. And we must not doubt that the Holy Spirit assists the Church in this judgment, for your ministers themselves confess that God has given the Holy Scriptures into her charge, and say that it is on this account Saint Paul calls her the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Tim 3:15. And how would she guard them if she could not know and separate them from the mixture of other books? And how important is it for the Church that she should be able to know in proper time and season which scriptures is holy and which not? For if she received such and such scripture as holy and it was not, she would lead us into superstition. And if she refused the honor and belief which befit God's sound word to a holy scripture, It would be an impiety, if ever then our Lord defends his church against the gates of hell, if the Holy Spirit assisted her so closely that she could say, "It hath seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." Acts 15:28. We must firmly believe that he inspires her on occasion of such great consequences as these, for it would indeed be to abandon her at her need if he left her at this juncture, on which depends not only an article or two of our faith, but the substance of our religion. When, therefore, the Church has declared that a book is canonical, we must never doubt but that it is so. We are here in the same position. For Calvin and the very Bibles of Geneva, and the Lutherans, receive several books as holy, sacred, and canonical which have not been acknowledged by all the ancients as such, and about which there has been a doubt. If there has been a doubt formerly, what reason can they have to make them assured and certain nowadays, except that which Saint Augustine had, as we said above? "I would not believe the gospel unless the authority of the Catholic Church moved me," and we receive the New and the Old Testament in that number of books which the authority of the Holy Catholic Church determines. Truly we should be very ill assured if we were to rest our faith on these particular interior inspirations, of which we only know that they exist or ever did exist, by the testimony of some private persons, and granted that they are or have been, we do not know whether they are from the false or of the true spirit, and supposing they are of the true spirit, we do not know whether they who relate them faithfully or not, since they have no mark of infallibility whatever. We should deserve to be wrecked if we were to cast ourselves out of the ship of the public judgment of the Church, to sail in the miserable skiff of these new discordant private inspirations. Our faith would not be Catholic, but private. But before I quit this subject, I pray you, reformers, tell me whence you have taken the canon of the Scriptures which you follow. You have not taken it from the Jews, for the books of the Gospels would not be there, nor from the Council of Laodicea, for the Apocalypse would not be in it, or from the Councils of Carthage or of Florence, for Ecclesiasticus and the Maccabees would be there. Whence, then, have you taken it? In good sooth, like canon was never spoken of before your time. The Church never saw canon of the Scriptures in which there was not either more or less than in yours. What likelihood is there that the Holy Spirit has hidden himself from all antiquity, and that after 1,500 years he has disclosed to certain private persons the list of the true Scriptures? For our part, we follow exactly the list of the Council of Laodicea with the addition made at the Councils of Carthage and Florence. Never will a man of judgment leave these councils to follow the persuasions of private individuals. Here, then, is the fountain and source of all the violations which have been made of this holy rule, namely, when people have taken up the fancy of not receiving it save by the measure and rule of the inspirations which each one believes and thinks he feels. Dash.